Good evening.
Welcome to Calvary Chapel Christian Preschool Christmas Program. On behalf of our pastor, Bill Stonebreaker, and his wife, Danita, along with all of us teachers and the children and the staff, we want to thank you so much for coming tonight as the children will be singing their songs about Jesus' birthday. Before we start, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our Christmas program. Thank you for all our mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and families and friends and everybody that's here tonight, Lord, to listen to the children sing. And Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate your birth. And I pray that you help the children to do their best as they will be singing, and that you would be glorified, Lord. We ask that you bless our families, and that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
To us a child is born.
Good job, boys and girls. At this time, I'm going to call Pastor Carey to speak tonight. Thank you, everybody.
All right, well, I don't think I can ever compete with that. Give another round of applause for Calvary Chapel Christian Preschool. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to grab a stand. How many of you remember that age? You know, you look at these kids and they start singing the songs and they don't even think, as they hit the mic, they don't consider if they sound out of tune. They sing just unfiltered. They are singing to the top of their lungs, and it's sweet to see it because the Word of God says that God, out of the mouth of babes, he's perfected praise. There's no guile when it comes to these small children, and it's beautiful when you think about it, because I was just sitting and watching my girls watch their cousin, and I remember when they were that age, and it happens very fast. Now I have teenagers, parents. It's going to go really quick. But in that, as we close out tonight, I just really want to share what this season is about in regards to Christmas. You know, the center of attention is that last song that they finished. It says, "Happy birthday to who?" To Jesus. That's what this season is about. And the gospel message is that just that. If I was to break it down, and you got to bear with me because I was a Marine prior to the Lord calling me to be a pastor. So I learned things through acronyms. And by way of acronyms, I'll give you the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. The G is this: God created us to be with him. God created us specifically for relationship with himself. Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image.
In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Jesus tells us in John 17:3 that Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, speaking of the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The O is this: our sins separate us from God. So the gospel message starts with God, and then it says that our sins actually separate us or cause a void or distance between us and God. Just as Adam and Eve fell in the garden, you can see this in Genesis chapter 3, sin was passed down to all men. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that everyone in this room, including the beautiful Keiki that just finished singing, everyone's guilty of sin before God, but it doesn't stop there. Sin cannot be removed based off of our cuteness, our good deeds. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it like this: for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. Why this is important is because we've been told lies in our lives that we can offset our bad deeds by our good deeds. And the Bible says that this isn't true. It says that it's a gift of God. And this gift is the exact gift that the children were speaking of. That is Jesus Christ himself. God has offered us Jesus Christ in order for us to be forgiven. This is when we humble ourselves, when we turn from sin and we place our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. So what is that? What is that work of the cross? Well, it's the P in gospel. It's paying the price for our sins. Jesus died in our place, that when the wrath of God should have come upon us, he took it upon himself and he died in our place. Romans 5:8 says this: but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I love this because what this shows us is that the love of God is not dependent upon you and I being good people. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, all men proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. What that means is all of the good deeds that you and I accumulate in this life are worthless before God, because there is only one good work. And that good work is what Christ accomplished on the cross. Jesus was innocent and perfectly righteous, and his sacrifice on the cross was the only acceptable payment for our sins. In this, I always think about kind of a courtroom analogy. If you've ever been in court, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've ever been in court, one of the first things that the judge asks is, how do you plead? Now, if you said, you know, well, judge, I committed this crime, but, you know, I did a lot of good works. I know I was going 50 miles over the speed limit, but I do good things to kind of offset that. My offsetting of good deeds is never going to take away the violation of the law. And everyone in this room, including myself, we have violated God's law. The thing about this is, as we stand in this courtroom, and God being the righteous judge, he says, how do you plead? All of us would have to admit that we are guilty. But see, this is the thing. Just act as if you had a $5 million fine on your head. The judge is about to slam that gavel down. You can't make payment. And just as he's about to slam the gavel, the back doors of the courtroom burst open. And he steps forward, this man that you don't know nor even care about. And he says, judge, here's the $5 million fine. Here's the payment for fill in the blank, whatever your name is. I would say fill in the blank for Carrie. And in that, God can look at me and legally dismiss my case. Not because I'm good, I was the one that violated the law, but he can legally dismiss my case because the payment has been made in full by another person. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for our sins, that we were guilty before God, we could not make the payment, and Jesus Christ, he comes in and he makes full payment, that God could see a sinner like us, a sinner like me, and he could say, not guilty. Not based off of what I did, but only based off of what Christ did alone. And so in this, the E within gospel, everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ alone can receive eternal life. A famous verse that everyone knows, Tim Tebow made it famous But he didn't create John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I love it because it's everyone. It's inclusive of anyone that would repent. That means to confess your sins before God, to turn away from your sins and place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The Bible says, everyone who believes shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus puts it in this way, and he makes it very exclusive, John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We can't come to God on our own terms. As much as we want to, God didn't leave any room for that. It's through Jesus Christ alone. And our relationship with God can be restored, and we can be forgiven of the violation of sin before him if we turn. Many ways can honestly separate us from God eternally, but there is only one way that we can spend eternity with God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And the last letter here is L. Life with Jesus can start now and last forever. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And Romans 10:9 says this, that if you would confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that means that he has sole authority over your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's the promise, you will be saved. It doesn't require us to do all of these works, do all of these good things. If you know anything about the scripture, you'll know that there were two thieves on the cross on either side of Jesus. Both of them at one time were bringing a lot of accusations his way. But one of the thieves came to his senses and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus makes this promise to him. He says, this day you will be with me in paradise. What's interesting about this thief on the cross, he never had the opportunity to be baptized. He never had the opportunity to go and do good works, that he would be seen as righteous before God. He but acknowledged his sin, and he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's what the scripture tells us is necessary for us to be saved. Honestly, 10 days from now, people all across the world are going to be celebrating Christmas. And sadly, a lot of people are still going to miss it. And the reason that a lot of people are going to miss it is because our society has become so self-absorbed. We've become so focused on what's in it for me. What do I get? What are the gifts? Sometimes I remember as a kid, you lay out your list and you're just praying mom and dad are going to come through. Or Santa, if you believe in that. But with it, a lot of people are going to miss Christmas because the true gift that God has sent us through his son, Jesus Christ, will go unwrapped, will go unreceived. Even though God has offered everything that's necessary for us to live with him for all eternity, he tells us but to repent. This is to confess our sins. See, the thing is that we all can present the best version of ourselves to one another. We can dress it up, we can put makeup on, if that's what you do. Guys, I don't recommend it. But in this, we can make things look good externally, but God is always looking at the heart. And because he is looking at the heart, that's the very thing that needs to be changed. And he alone is the only one that can do so. It requires two things from us. That we repent of our sins. This is to confess our sins before God. Only you and the Lord know the depths of what goes on in your mind, the actions that you may have taken in your life. See, this is the thing, is like the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer will inherit the kingdom of God. This means if you lied once, or maybe you make habit of lying, before God, we would all be guilty. But the beautiful thing is that God never wanted to leave us there. And that's why he provided everything necessary for us to be saved, to be cleansed. And again, that's through Jesus Christ. So repentance from sin and placing our faith is the second one in the finished work of Christ on the cross. What he did when Jesus says it is finished, I believe that there was a period at the end of that sentence. It doesn't mean and now you go and do good things to add to your salvation. We cannot. But it has everything to do with what he did. And so I close with this, in that God has offered us the greatest gift that this world could ever receive. I pray that no one would miss Christmas. The same innocence that these children were singing through and in is what God requires from us, is a childlike faith. This is that faith that says, I will scream and yell at the top of my lungs, just praise and joy and thanksgiving unto God. It is the innocence of saying, yeah, I did it. I have fallen short before God. And I want to receive the free gift of salvation that he offers us. Now, it's free for us, but it cost him everything. He says, but to repent, to turn from your sins and place your faith in Christ, and you will be saved. That is a promise from God. I pray that everyone in this room would have that relationship with the Lord, having turned from sin and placing your faith in Christ. Maybe there's a reason that you have your children here at Calvary Chapel Christian Preschool. It's because what's being given to them out in the world is something that you know is dangerous. You know is flawed. But here at Calvary Chapel Christian Preschools, the foundation is always going to be Jesus. And as you can see, the kids just, they bring it out of us. I think the parents were more excited than the kids were. God wants us to have that childlike faith in him, that innocence, to be able to admit, I have fallen before you, Lord, in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, and Christ alone is who I surrender my heart to. And in that, the Lord says, you will be saved. The work will be his. Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. God always finishes what he starts. Will you pray with me? Father, we just ask. We thank you, Father, for the free gift of salvation that you have extended to us. And it's just that, you've offered salvation through Jesus Christ. But you tell us that we must humble ourselves, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ died on the cross, Lord, and that you raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's not by our good works. We know that we cannot earn salvation. And while this life is temporary, Father, we seek to be with you for eternity. And I would just pray, if there's anyone in this room that does not have relationship with you, Lord Jesus, that they would come to a place where they would confess their sins and they would say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, of the thoughts that I've had, the words that I've said, the actions in my life that I've taken that has caused a separation between me and you. And I thank you that Christ came and died innocently, but taking my sin upon himself that I could be seen as not guilty. And not only did he die, but he resurrected on the third day, and he defeated death, and it proved that he is who he says he was. The way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Wash me clean. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, as your word says. And help me to serve you all the days of my life. Change my heart from the inside out. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you all. I think in receiving your children downstairs, Ms. Perla? Okay, downstairs in their classroom, your children be there. You can take pictures, come back up. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. And close out 2023 having relationship with the Lord. I'll leave you with that. God bless you all.